I'm not going to read the list anymore because every time I read something you guys are interested in, you go into this 5-minute spiel.
I'm sorry.
Okay, let's get on with the podcast. Charity would like to be home before midnight.
Yes.
Ridiculous. She's a youngster. Midnight's a good time.
Actually, no, it's not. I've been exhausted all week.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God.
Exhausted.
And you're how
what?
Old?
14.
14.
How can you be exhausted?
School.
You actually study or something?
Yes.
Oh.
Geometry and
why do you do
chemistry.
That?
Shut up, Johnny. And talk her out of
mandatory.
It.
Oh, we'll
make fun of her.
All right, here we go, folks. I can see it all so clear. Everybody, welcome to episode 13 of Comic Pop Library. I'm here with Chris, Matt, and Johnny Gann, and we have a special guest in the audience, Charity. She's going to be with us today and help us comment on K-On! Later in the podcast, which I will be reviewing. Right now, we're going to have Chris debuting Demon. So take it away, Chris.
This book is a very CSI-esque book. You can't just be anybody to read this book because there's a lot of technical terms that are native to the IT scene or whatever.
Jargon.
Jargon, yeah, there we go. A lot of
bingo.
IT word jargon in this book that you kind of need to know, and it kind of does describe on what each one of them means when it's said, but it doesn't give you a definition. It just kind of pick up on what it means.
Well, when I first checked this out, and who's the author on it? The Daniel Suarez, to me, it was written enough where I was used to it. I was familiar enough, but with one of my staff members, she checked it out, did not enjoy it because she thought it was too into the technology where I didn't think it was. And I might be ankle deep in technology, but I'm not swimming in it, and I didn't have that problem.
To someone who hates computers, they're going to hate the book. You know, you use a computer every day. You enjoy your computer, whatever. You're not going to hate it.
If this was a movie.
I already said it would be an epic movie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
So anyway, the book is called Demon, D-A-E-M-O-N, and it is pronounced Demon. All this time, Matt and I have had a difficult time deciding or getting over our Damon. How we pronounced it, but it is Demon after doing some research on that. Yes, I did do research on that. I'm a classic nerd. So Demon is
a closet nerd.
Closet nerd.
Classic nerd.
Classic.
What's a classic nerd?
Okay, anyway, shut up.
Yeah, are we talking like Revenge of the Nerds classic nerd or like Ray Bradbury?
Okay, off the tangent.
Sorry. I'm going to put tasers on the bottom of all your guys' chairs, and when you guys make me mad, I'm just going to hit the button.
Only if you go on yours.
So anyway, a demon. Caught myself.
Almost
a demon.
I know where he's going
classic
with
classic nerd.
A computer program that runs continuously in the background and performs specific operations at predefined times in response to certain events. Okay, so that's the definition. We don't want to confuse anybody that we're not talking about the demons from hell. We're talking about software.
Some
the book starts
think
off.
Software can be demons from hell, too.
Yeah, they can be.
Depending on the software.
The book starts off with the murder. The book introduces two investigators. They're trying to figure out how this guy died.
Seebeck, one of the main characters in the book.
Seebeck, and the other guy dies, and I forgot his name.
Yeah, he dies pretty quick.
He's dead. Who cares?
Actually, he dies on a raid, but okay.
They start to find out that what killed this guy was something sort of automated, something that didn't have a human involved in. Anyway, the story goes on, and Matt, you can chime in whenever you want. So,
they introduce.
Oh,
several,
that's right. Richard read it too.
They introduce several characters into this.
Yeah,
you know, Seebeck is not the main character. Matthew Sobel is the one who wrote the computer program. If you want to say that, the demon, the computer genius.
He is the CEO of a gaming company, and he creates. This demon basically to fix the world, the future of the world.
He kind of says in the book, I don't know if you caught that towards the end of the book, he says that, you know, every so often the human race has to change, adapt, if you want to say that, and you can either follow the demon, and I'm only going to, if you let it go, it's only going to kill tens of millions. If you don't, billions will die.
Right. That concept could also be, I'll show my history side of me, could also be pulled back to Thomas Jefferson, who says says every so often a country needs a revolution.
He said yes. every 25 years, every right. generation.
Which we're past dues.
By several years.
I think that the current iteration
so
of
it kind of they kind of took that statement from Jefferson and put it into the technology age. And like you said, then put in that life-threatening deal.
Yeah.
Would you save one person or would you save 1,000 people?
Exactly. It's interesting because then there's Greg.
Who is a hacker.
Yeah, hacker, thief, identity thief. We won't say the line that me and Chris love in the book the best. That's at the rave. You know exactly.
I don't need 1,000 people to ... That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, greatest line in the book. It's I don't want to steal Chris's thunder, but it. Who else is in it that the computer programmer?
Merritt.
The There's quite a few several characters. Main there's... characters in this, and it kind of bounces around a little bit, too, as to different places.
Seedbook's the cop. Sobol is the CEO.
Sobol. Sobol was CEO. Sobol.
And then he hooks up with a computer guy, too.
Greg.
Is that Greg?
That's mm-hmm. after Sobol. Well, all this happens after Sobol is dead. Sobol's death basically put this
but
into motion.
Garrick's not the one from the rave, though.
Greg, whatever.
Greg was in charge of the rave.
Yeah, he was the guy in the rave, yeah.
The guy that was with him.
But he wasn't the one doing security at the company, though. No. Who's that character? Because he comes back into play, too.
He's the one who works with Sobol. I can't remember what his name was. He's the guy who basically...
He was a Russian.
Yeah, he's a Russian. And I can't remember what his name is now. What are you laughing at, Tony?
We've read it, and we can't remember anything.
There were so many characters. There were so many characters
Wikipedia,
in this
Johnny, while it was sitting there.
To be honest, I'm supposed to make myself useful.
No, you're not. There were so many characters in this book. It was hard at a couple times to keep track of who the characters were, because it jumped between them, you know, and different things that happened with them. Let's get back to
Chris going a little bit more on his review here.
Yeah, and I don't want to steal Chris's thunder because it was just...
I was looking up something.
Okay, let's
Chris
go back.
Up stuff.
That's Grand Theft Thunder.
Well, we can talk about it. It jumps around a lot, but I like the story and the way of it, and I hate to say it. It was what... This book was written in 2009?
I believe so.
I think that was
and
the
there
year.
Is a sequel to it, believe it
yes,
or not.
Yes, Freedom Men, we actually have
I haven't
that.
Read it yet.
We're going to read it just because I want to know what happens. But at one point, I was actually listened to this book. I didn't actually read it. I was to it on tape or CD. Sorry, tapes really don't exist. Book on tape, book on CD, whatever.
Magnetic media.
After I listened to this one scene where he basically plays a game called The Gate with the computer guy, I came in and told Chris and I went, he's playing World of Warcraft. And Chris listened to it and goes, he is playing World of Warcraft.
He bought a character on eBay for $380. And then he goes in there and then the guy's like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing in here. And then tells all, I guess he has hired help. And he tells his character in the game has hired help.
Tells him to kill
everybody.
He tells him that they're dogs or something.
Yeah.
And they all run away. And he goes, oh, crap. I paid $390 for that character. Oh, well. And so Seebeck was like, well, let's just go to eBay and buy another one.
He goes, no,
we'll try it with this guy. And then they end up going through a portal and meeting Sobol's avatar.
Right. One of his avatars, which is in another game that he wrote, like a World War II-ish game. Type first-person shooter. No. And it's
Bonner,
got aspects of...
Bonner,
however you...
Bonner.
It's a good story.
I had to
aspect.
Listen to
it's,
that name
it's
twice.
It's kind of hard to follow every once in a while.
Since we're talking about story, you want to give us the outline of the story so people kind of know what we're
talking
about
right
now?
Okay. So it starts off with a murder and an investigation. Okay, and then it's discovered that the murder occurred by something automated, something that didn't involve human. Well, it kind of did.
Human programmed it,
right?
Well,
but,
human turned kind of.
But an automated process told somebody to turn a key. That key caused something to happen. He didn't know what is to raise an antenna. But he had a work order that said turn a key. That something happened and caused this guy. I'm not going to tell what it is, but
to be killed.
Yeah, he dies. So okay. Anyway, moving on. So as they're investigating this, kind of flips over to Greg's sort of introduction to the demon. He's a hacker. He's out stealing people's identities, selling them to the Philippines. And one of his trade-offs, his friend ends up beat up. But so the demon, how does he actually meet the demon?
He plays the game, the World War
II
game.
Oh, okay,
game.
It was the
level and plays it until he beats it, which takes him several days. And then several days to figure out a code.
So basically the demon, he becomes the new programmer for the demon, I'm guessing. You kind of have to read into that
a little bit. Later on he says this will get me another level for sure, so I don't know if he's just the first character.
Well, it turns out that
like he's the first one to discover it by the demon's design.
Right, the design of the demon.
It turns out that that was an actual an intelligence test,
yeah. Right,
or something. And then it jumps back to the investigation of how this guy actually died. They do a lot of interviews, and then
what they go to Sobel's.
Okay, that's right. They find out that that Sobel was behind the.
They end up going to Sobel's. A bunch of stuff happens at his house.
At his house, that's right.
Yeah. That's where you're introduced to the automates, which I'm going, I want one. I just don't want it to kill me. Don't make it mad. It may kill you.
It was a Hummer, right?
It was a Hummer that was basically computer controlled by the demon.
And then later on, the other automated motorcycle.
Yeah. Those sounded swords. Wicked.
That reminded me so much of the latest Terminator movie, the motorbikes.
Oh, yeah.
That Terminator Salvation. Kind of reminded me of that, Terminator Salvation.
I said that at one time to Chris. I said, it's Skynet.
So that's where you meet.
Want to kill everyone.
At Sobel's house, that's when you meet Merritt. Later on, you find out Greg kind of idolizes him for trying to stop and living through what the demon has thrown at him. Okay. When he should have been dead, he was still alive.
He's the head of a hostage rescue squad, and he is the only person to basically survive a direct assault, you want to say, from the demon. So he's kind of idolized by all of the people working for the demon, which they end up calling it the Darknet.
That's the network that the demon operates on. Yeah.
And there's some really cool concepts as technology. I don't want to give away the whole story.
Right. Well, the next part, it flipped over to Greg again, where he kills a guy for information on, I had to ask you about
that. It's a pamphlet that has something to do with the companies that won't be destroyed by the demon if they try to shut it down or something like that. It's kind of weird and hard to follow in some spots, and you kind of got to read into some stuff.
I could read this again.
I could too, and get something different from it.
That's when the demon's first technological breakthrough is described, and it's a shirt called the Third Eye. Did you catch that?
Did you catch that part? That was the shirt he was wearing, and when he concentrated on it, he could know and feel and sense stuff through the demon.
Instead of having a monitor and having visual stimulus.
I didn't catch that. Then.
This was physical stimulus, so if there's something approaching him from behind, it would trigger, he would feel it basically, mm-hmm. and know to turn around and deal with it.
When he's in the computer farm, the gamer pit,
right.
He has the shirt on with the gloves and the glasses.
Now I remember.
Well, he has the gloves.
Basically, he has glasses too.
Did he have the glasses?
Yeah, because he said he used the
glasses.
Because
that's what I was thinking.
Because
the glasses.
They turned, okay, that's what it was. They saw the gamer call out, mm-hmm. is what it was, with another level, set of glasses.
Level 40 wizard.
They amputated somebody's eyeball to gain access to Darknet so that they could see what they were seeing through the glasses. And basically, it turns out that what they're seeing is Sobel's game brought to life.
Laid out over, basically what they describe it is, they actually laid landscapes. The game out over real space using GPS coordinates, which is all feasible stuff.
To me, and maybe this is where you were getting at with the shirt, I didn't get the shirt. I got the glasses, and almost maybe if they were embedded or however, but
I was taking them as gloves.
Gloves.
They were gloves, right. But they had metal tips on them or something.
Yeah.
And they could manipulate. You know, the screen was there, but
that was their mouse.
You couldn't see it unless you had the technology,
the glasses
to see it.
Well, when he does the lightning thing, and it made me think of Force Lightning from Darth Vader when he zaps the dudes. When they're going to storm
Sobel's house
for the second time, and he says that these guys made Darth Vader look like a Walmart greeter.
I was like, okay. Vader was kind of a scary dude. Some of those Walmart greeters are scary dudes.
Or doodads. True.
Thanks for your input, Johnny.
Anything to help.
Charities are over there like, what the hell?
What are they talking about? It's definitely an interesting book. A little techy, a little geeky at times.
If you're comfortable sitting in front of your computer, you could probably get this book and be okay.
Yeah, I would say so.
If you're not comfortable sitting in front of a computer and you go, okay, how do I do an email? Book is not for you.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And you have to be all right with time skips.
Yeah,
there's
at one point,
three parts to the book, and there's
they said 8 months.
The first one was 8 months,
and then another 6 months.
Second one was 6 months.
Was it six? Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So roughly a year and a couple months total has skipped in this, mm-hmm. and they don't really give you much in between those skips. It's pretty much, this happens 8 months later. Okay.
And it's like starting a new book almost, because it's a completely new character that's in a prison. I'm talking about the middle part.
That's when they jump to the guy who was doing the calls.
Oh, okay.
Right, the call center.
Mosley?
Mosley, I think it was Mosley.
Was it Mosley? Mosley was the prisoner.
Right.
That's the demon. The demon's hitman.
And that was basically the middle part was introducing him.
And he's in that part. computer analyst, Russian. He's in that part because the first skip, he's talking with the guy who survived. I'm horrible with names.
Well, in the first part, you don't know he actually survived. But there's a U.S. scientist with the government, kind of like the Secret Service type branch deal. That is a
Sector 7
lady. And
not quite.
They kind of get together and try to fight the demon. Right.
But that was in the third part.
Well, they meet in the first part.
Okay.
And then you jump to the Merritt goes into the house, and then that's pretty much the closeout of the last part.
Right.
And besides Sobek.
Sobek in.
Getting, do you want to say it? Or
framed.
Not? Right. He was framed. Yeah. And then you jump to, you said it was Mosley in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then when you come into the third part, it's back to the Russian and that lady from the U.S. government.
Yeah. The Russian also talks to Mosley.
At the naval yard.
The Russian also talks to Mosley.
Does he?
Yeah. He's the one telling him that he's gaining evidence and basically shows them the back doors in the programs. And this is how he's recruiting people for the darknet. I don't know if you caught that. In the games, he was saying people, they were studying the code of the game.
Right.
And it wasn't the code. It was an actual element in the game that allowed them a back door to something else. That's how they were getting to the darknet.
Okay.
I don't know if you caught that. And see, that's why
maybe
I said you kind of have to be part video gamer to understand this and some of how the games work and what happens in those games. Like, I don't play World of Warcraft, but I know what it's about and how it works. And they kind of describe some of that. And I've played first-person shooters, and I understand, you know, some of that stuff.
And I'll be honest, I don't play the games, but I watch my son play enough. I watch friends play. So I'm familiar with that area of interest. So it wasn't that difficult. Like I said, it wasn't that difficult for me to get into it. So I don't know how difficult it will be.
Do you know what NetStumbler is?
Nope.
That was one of the tools
that they used to find and locate access points, wireless access points, so that he could find connections to the internet. NetStumbler is a real product out there that does help you find where access points are. That's all I'm going to say because we can get into legal issues.
It ruins the book, too, if you start talking too much about it. And I say if your library doesn't have it, it's probably worth having.
Like I said, I don't know. Since I am familiar enough, I was able to get into it.
Right.
Somebody that's not familiar with that, like I said, my staff member, she couldn't get into it, and she put it down. Just a general sci-fi person, I don't even know if they would. They would have to be into the computer areas, which
it's not really sci-fi.
This is not really sci-fi. He actually invented his own genre called techno thriller. Mm-hmm. That's his word.
Right.
That's Daniel Suarez's word for his book.
But if you gave that to a general person,
sci-fi, no.
They would probably, but I'm talking about just off the street.
Oh, sure.
They would probably say, that's probably sci-fi because they think of The Matrix.
Right.
They think of Terminator.
I would agree. It'd be sci-fi-ish.
If you just did a classic reader of classic sci-fi,
they'd hate it.
I don't know if they would get into it.
You would have to have
at least some type of computer, and like you said, Matt, gaming background, at least get into the book and go from there.
I think sci-fi has to have at least something about the future, something in space, or fantasy in order to be real sci-fi, to where this is
everything
fiction.
That happens in that book is
you
possible.
Notice where we have my copy from my library. We put it in general fiction. That's where we put
that's
it.
That's where ours is.
That's where you'd have to classify it, but I don't know.
Definitely for adults.
Yeah, it's definitely an adult book.
Well, let me just
say something, or just going to move the mic around?
towards the end of the book, something sort of unexpected happens. The hero that's trying to stop Demon ends up getting killed, but not by a demon, what they called a demon operative. Well, he was a demon operative.
The guy in the chopper.
But he wasn't supposed to be there. He wasn't assigned there by the demon.
Oh, you're talking about the major or whatever?
No, Mosley.
Because he got away.
Mosley shoots Merritt.
When he's riding on the car and he is messing up Greg terribly by knocking the stuff off his car.
That wasn't Mosley, though.
Yes, it was.
So Mosley's the major?
No.
No.
No, the major wasn't in
the
chopper.
Major.
No, the major.
That got into the chopper and he was shooting Merritt.
They never really identify the guy.
That's the way I identified it.
Unless it is one and the same, and that's what we're going to find out in the sequel.
That's what I was leading to.
You never found out where the major was from. They never would
exactly.
Say.
That's what I was leading to. Something unexpected happens at the end, and you're kind of left hanging a little bit on what
you're
just
left
happened.
Hanging a lot.
So there is a sequel out there. Hopefully, I've got it. I haven't read it yet. I'm probably not going to do a review on it because because I don't review sequels. So I recommend a definite read. But it is adult
fiction.
Maybe more mature teen. So
late teenager.
Sophomore up, 10th grade up.
They would probably get it. Yeah. And they would probably get it because they are technology age. And they're probably more of a gamer than most at that age now.
But I want to see this as a movie.
Oh, dude, it would be epic.
I'm sure the author would love the options to be bought as well.
I think it's one of those, you know, if your library doesn't have it, if you're a big enough library and got the ability
to have...
It's a
good addition to the library.
You know, it's a good addition to have. It's one of those, hey, you like science fiction, here's kind of a techno one, try it. And they're either going to hate it or they're going to love it.
Right.
I'm really going to say that's a black and white book. Chris, do you agree?
Most paper and ink are black and white.
No.
It's either yin or yang.
Oz is in color, so it's not just black and white. Nah. But no, I mean, it's one of those black or white books of you're either going to like the book or you're going to hate the book. I would tell them that if someone, you know, asked for it. My opinion, no.
Anything else,
we're good.
Chris?
Nope, that's it.
Oh, we'd like to thank our sponsor, MusicAlley.com, for providing our intro and outro for this episode. If you like music, visit them at MusicAlley.com. They have the small independent artists there where you can get any genre you're interested in. Rap, American pop, Americana, anything you're interested in. So check them out at musicalley.com. Next up is K-On.
And we're actually going to hear from our guest.
Yes, Charity might actually do some commenting this time. Charity was nice enough to come and join us today to make some comments as well.
You have to answer why.
If Richard doesn't know, Chris can tell the story as to why she's going to talk
and we can get into that here in a bit. K-On, it's actually spelled K with a hyphen, then O-N, then exclamation point. I pronounce it K-On. That's how I do it. It's by Kakify. It's weird. Kakify.
I don't like to try to pronounce
either. You need to work on your Japanese.
Yes. Japanese, I wasn't going to try.
But we kind of talked about manga being read from the opposite direction of us. It's read from right to left rather than left to right like we're used to. This one is that way, but it's actually called a four-panel comic. You read it from left to right, but the panels, kind of think of it as a newspaper strip that is laid out. You go left to right on it. These newspaper panels are stacked on top of each other, and you start on the right-hand side of the page. You read down those four panels, then you go up to the next four panels and read down. Then you go to the inner seam of the book, start at that top block of the four panels and read down, and then do the last four panels.
Okay, for everybody, since nobody can actually see this, Richard was giving us great hand motions.
I liked to wave when
talk. He was showing you how to read the book.
You gotta read everything between the lines. Sorry about that. Basically, that's how you do it. It's a little bit different than your traditional manga.
I have to break out with my guitar, play with Richard singing.
Well, Johnny said he was a singer, but he never will break into song. I don't know.
Why would I break into song in a podcast?
Well, you might be discovered.
No.
No, I don't know that I want to be discovered for singing on a podcast.
Anyway, that's the structure of this book. So it is a little different from a traditional manga that everybody might be used to. I had to get used to it because I was reading it straight across like I would a normal manga, and then I had to say stop a moment, reorient myself, and then go forward.
It threw me for a
loop. Didn't get it the first time I started reading it.
I didn't either.
That's what, I had to go on the internet to figure out how to read this book.
Charity is here because our guys bailed on me this week.
I read part of it. I really did.
I read 20 pages and said
half of it.
I think I'll pass.
I have to say this is definitely geared for the female teenage audience.
I would say, you know, I bet you a female, a tween would actually would get into this a little bit too.
No, I thought about that.
Possibly. Do you have a hard time reading it at first, or are you familiar with four-panel comic?
I've never read it before, but thank God my friends are into this type of stuff. They helped me.
Oh, this was your first exposure to manga?
Yeah.
Well, Chris, tell the story as to why she's here.
Because I wanted something positive to come out of reading this.
That's not the story he told me, really.
She was sitting at the table, and I said, hey, do you know what manga is? And she says, yeah, I know what manga is. And I said, here, look at this. And I handed it to her, and I said, what you think? And she says, oh, I might like it. And I said, okay, well, come here, and I'll show you how to read it. And then she took it home and brought it back to me 2 days later. And I said, now, you have to come and do a review for this now.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's like, oh, okay.
Let's
not tell me
beforehand.
She was all right with it, so that's how she
ended
up here
today. Perfect example of what I said, teenage girl, book for teenage girl.
Do you think it's specifically geared for a girl, though?
Probably. I didn't get attacked by any guys at school thinking it was awesome or anything.
Okay. The only one thing is if you look at it as a pure comedy, it could be read by a guy. But the main thing where it's really hard is... it's at a girl's school.
Oh, say, you were stretching that a bit.
True. But yeah. I enjoyed the comedy. I had fun with it. Did you enjoy the comedy, Charity?
Yeah.
It did have some good funny stuff in it. And I'm not going to say it was a bad book. I just could not get past it. I really, really was going, this is a girl's book.
I could not. God. Well,
okay, keep reading. It can't be that bad.
I had it in my mind when I was reading this, the personification of a Japanese schoolgirl, okay? That you know, running around these high-pitched voices that sound like mice. And I just could not get over that this is probably happening every time someone says a joke or something in there. And I'm just like, okay, you know what? They're annoying me.
Oh, man.
Did you make that noise when you read it?
If you don't have anything informative
Johnny,
for this
podcast,
shut up.
Johnny, you can't say anything good to say. Didn't your mother tell you, you know, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all?
No, wait.
Everyone here except for Chris laughed. I think it was good.
Ooh.
It was funny.
You're going to be killed.
Welcome. Come on. Give us your honest opinion on the book.
It was interesting, but
what's it about?
I can go into that since it's my review. You don't have to do all of it, Charity. I think Chris was giving you some grief there, and you can chime in whenever you want to.
I'm not really good at interrupting unless it's my dad talking.
I'm probably old enough to be your dad, so it should be fine then. My daughter's 13 and you're only 14.
Your son's 16.
My son's 16, so you shouldn't have any problem interrupting me.
I need to be her dad too.
Basically, this is a, like I said, takes place in an all-girls school, centers around four girls. To get into it, some of the main characters, Ritsu Tainaka and Mayo Akiyama. They are two members of a pop music club along with Mio Akiyama. Well, shoot, I messed up there to begin
with.
I'm
glad you're trying to pronounce the name.
You gotta try.
You are doing Sumugi. A whole heck of a lot better than I was. I was just going girl one, girl two, girl three, girl four.
I was just going by the images.
I was like, I have no idea what
they're
doing.
Part of the fun is trying to pronounce them. But anyway, Ritsu is a pushy one. She wants to join the club because she wants to be the important person in the room. So she thinks because this club is basically dead, it's her opportunity to be the leader. And it's a pop music club, and she is the drummer of the group. Mio, she's a quiet, shy girl, enjoys studying, does her best whatever she's involved with, doesn't like being a center of attention, kind of shies away from that, and she's the bass player.
I think she's kind of violent.
At times she can get violent. Yeah. But she's the bass player. And to go on to the next one, Sumugi Kotobuki is a cute, rich girl. She's kind of a blondish girl, and she wants to please everyone because her parents are always away on trips, and she doesn't have very many friends. So,
what was her name again?
Sumugi Kotobuki.
Chris,
he's dying laughing over here. And she's the one that supports the club and everything they do. She takes them to her parents' summer houses and to the beach and all that, and she's the keyboardist.
If that was every word in there, I might have read it.
Yui Hirasawa is the fourth member. She's the one that this is actually centered around, and she's new to the school, and she's basically dragged into this. She's supposed to join one of the clubs after school, which in Japan, that's pretty much normal for a student to be involved in a club after school, and they take club trips. So when you see them going on to the summer houses and stuff, that actually does take place in Japan.
If I remember from what I did read, she's never played an instrument.
She never played an instrument before except the finger cymbals.
And they teach her guitar.
And she's a savant. She picks up guitar almost overnight, it seems like.
I'm kind of confused on her family part.
They have her sister, but that's about all you see.
Parents are always going on trips without them.
True. When you get into the teenage comedies, a lot of times they don't spend much time with the parents. It's mainly geared towards the main characters. So that's not too uncommon a trait. We have that. You can see that in our Charlie Brown Peanuts. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
You don't see I'm a parent. You see their mom, mom.
The teacher, and you see the mom.
Do you actually see her, though? You just hear the mom. I think that's all you do.
I think you just hear them. You might be right. I don't know if you've ever actually seen.
On Endure, one my brother and sister have. They like on one episode, they showed the people, the adults.
So in the anime, they do show more frequently a little bit?
Cool. I guess in the newer one.
Okay.
I haven't.
This is a very popular property in Japan. I mean, they just finished having a movie come out in Japan this last, right before Christmas. And it was, I think, as of last week, is one of the top 8 grossing movies of the year for Japan. And it's an animation show. But that's common in Japan. That's not uncommon for animation to be that way.
True.
So we got raising of eyebrows here.
Well, I'm thinking, really? I'd like Japanese anime, good Japanese anime cartoons.
Well, they even had, if you want, one of my posts on the website, they even had a subway train that was skinned in the K-On! Characters for a brief period to promote the movie. So they're big into their animation over there, their anime. But to go on with some of the other characters, we have Sawaku Yamanaka. She is the sponsor for the music club. She was in the club in the past, and she loves making costumes and doing cosplay. So some of the stuff that she dresses the girls in when they're performing is not necessarily outlandish, but it's not what you would think of them going out. It's more of what you would see at an anime convention than on a stage, per se. She has a quick temper if they don't like her stuff, but she also has the opposite effect. She's almost bipolar. She
can be familiar.
Maybe we don't want to know who she's talking about.
I'm sure Chris knows.
Okay. Let's pull Chris into
it. It's me.
Then we have the fifth member is Azusa Nakano, and she's a second year. She's introduced in the second volume. And
I was going to say, I missed that one.
Yeah.
She comes in and actually plays the guitar as well, kind of gives Yui a little bit of a challenge. It's basically a comedy. It's not anything major, but the four panels are geared to where it's told in a story manner.
Some of my friends said it's like a TV show in episodes. Like
okay, that. I can see that. So like, a block is an episode, basically?
Yeah, Yui or whatever her name is, I don't know. Right. That's it. It's like the narrator they play on in the story.
That's the character that they follow throughout the four panels. And you can read them, like Charity said, as episodes and just have the one gag. Or like they did here, they put them all together and you have a continuing story. Don't know if there's anything like that in the newspapers that's comedy related. They used to have the old drama serial strips in newspapers, like Dick Tracy and stuff like that, but it was more drama or mystery. It wasn't, you know, Tarzan used to be serialized in newspapers.
Marmaduke.
The only one that came to my mind was The Baby Blues. Have you ever read that comic strip?
No, I haven't.
It's same kind of thing. It's a continuing story of parents that have three children now, and they started with the first one being born, and they've kind of worked their way up.
Okay.
But it is comedy.
Is that for better?
Didn't it used to be a TV show? The Baby Blues.
I do not know. But I know it's a comic, and I've read it, and it's kind of funny. Sorry. I will talk into the mic.
Turn it away, folks.
I have to turn to look at the person I'm talking to.
I have to mention my wife does the sound editing now for these episodes, and yes, she does make comments about us every so often.
Good. I have to ask, were you into Mantra at all before you read that?
I've never tried reading them before.
You've never tried reading it before. So would you say, and I made this statement to Richard before we started doing this, if someone wanted to get into it, would that be the perfect book for a teenage girl who wanted to get into it to read?
Yeah, it's simple and easy to start following the plot.
I just think I was good. It was. I think I had it called right. Yep. I just wanted to make sure it was.
Right.
I had to ask the opinion of the teenage girl reading the book.
Right. You too, since you bailed on it, I'll ask Charity. Did you realize it was an all-girls school to begin with?
Yes. Or
because this one character, Nodoko Manabe, I'll pass that to her so she can see which one it is.
I can see it here.
Oh, you got it? Because when they first showed her, they didn't show her full body. And
towards the center of the book, I kind of thought she was a guy.
Yeah. So. When I first saw it, I was like, okay, maybe it's, you know, he and Yui are friends. But it was like later on, I was like, oh, she's a girl. I was like, so what I got from that is what I could tell is an all-girls school. Is that what you got?
Yeah, like for me, I automatically thought, you know, since it's Asian or whatever, that and they're uniformed and stuff, it'd probably be all-girl in my automatic thinking.
And it was one of those.
I just think I assumed it from the beginning of the book, looking at it, thinking, okay, this is a book about girls. This is
well,
an all-girl thing.
Not necessarily. And a Charity can't say anything to this yet. And when if you get more into reading manga, you'll notice it. But they have what they, I believe it's called cross-gender. I'd have to look on the dictionary. I think it's cross-play or cross-gender, where they draw a character. No. They draw a character. They're laughing over here at me.
I tried to stop myself.
I wouldn't have started laughing if Chris hadn't just like about died when you said that.
It's a purposely drawn character by the author artist, because it's usually one and the same, to be androgynous, that you don't know what they are. And part of the mystique is trying to figure out, is that a guy or a girl?
Just Pat. Have you ever seen Saturday Night Live? You know, you've never.
Big Saturday Night
Live. Oh, that used to be one of the biggest skits on there. It was a person that you were unsure if it was was male or female, and things would be said that would lead you to think one thing, and then something else would be said, and you, okay, wait, I took that all the wrong way. So you never knew if it, so, and I think the skit was called That's Just Pat or something like that, and it was hilarious because it was the same concept as that.
Okay.
You didn't know male or female, and they kept it that way on purpose. That's what right. made it funny.
And that's and what I, some of the artists do, and that's
okay, so why the same like, concept.
That's why I was like, this could be a guy. I mean, if you saw it from the, just the waist up, it
is
does.
Is that character wearing bifocals?
I wasn't sure what those were.
That's just a drawing and, style. I think it's
well, in this one, they look like bifocals.
It looks like bifocals, yes. She's one of those studious types.
She's on student council.
And... Right. She's the girl that everybody loves to hate.
Yeah, and in this picture here, you can, if you look close at the picture, you can see the top of the glass.
Okay.
So they are like.
This one too.
I'm going to say they're like glasses, but not necessarily bifocals, maybe right. reading glasses.
It's just a style that the artist used that makes it look like bifocals. In these books, there are sections that are in color, so you do get to see these characters in a colorized version besides
Thank
just
you.
The front.
That was one of the things that I actually noticed in the book. You know, first off reading it, I was like, okay, color, black and white. I was like, really? So I flipped through the book going, oh, there's some pages in color, some in black right. and white. That's kind of cool. But it did kind of freak
just
me
style.
Out after like the first three or four pages, it went to black and white. And I was like,
A lot of times on Sorry. The with the Japanese publications, they do that for the first couple of pages. It's just a gimmick. Something to
gimmick
give to
get you interested.
And to give something back to the fans to show them the color. Especially if it's been, like Charity mentioned, it's in anime form now. So it kind of gives you that bridge between what they would look like
episode.
In black and white and what they would look like in the anime. And I think this is off the top of my head. So I believe there's two seasons. And like I said earlier, I know there's been a theatrical release. If there's not two seasons, I know there's one season and a theatrical release of a movie. So, and like I said, it's very popular in Japan. I think it's up to 3 or 4 books here in America as being adapted. Is there anything in particular you liked about it, Charity, or just it's a book?
She really hasn't said much, and she's kind of a little scared, maybe.
This is her first podcast, so give her a break.
Ever.
I just kind of think it's weird talking to a microphone. I'm trying to get adjusted and everything, but
it's all right.
Yeah.
Doing
just
fine.
Talk away. Just talk away, and we will listen, chime in.
Don't talk to your mic. Talk to Matt or Richard.
Honest opinion on the book. What do you think? Richard, right? Wrong? You can tell him he's wrong, because if you listen to the podcast before this, me and his daughter butted heads on my review. It was hilarious.
That was, what was that? It was a series.
The Glades.
My honest opinion of the book is if you're not interested in at all of this stuff, you might not want to try to read it or anything, but it's pretty cool.
But would it be, like, if someone had never been exposed to that before, would that be the first manga you pick out to say, here, try reading this and see if you like it?
Yeah. Like I said before, it's simple.
Yeah, I guess
it's in chunks.
This question to Johnny. I'm going to say we don't have that here. Or do we have any books similar to that we've been talking about here?
Not in that format. We have a lot of manga, but
I don't know if you have four panel comics.
Well, no. I'm not necessarily saying four panel. I'm talking something geared maybe to
more to the female
girl.
Audience. Claymore, kind of. You just got in Claymore. It has a strong central female character. A little bloody.
Mm-hmm. Fruits Basket.
Yes, definitely. If you like that,
we have some. Yeah.
Okay,
get with Johnny and read Fruits Basket. That was a smash hit even here in the U.S. in the U.S. market.
I'm just thinking it's one of those. You know, if
I get a stink eye by Matt here
from a library's aspect of it, I'm wondering if you don't have anything like that in your library, would this be a book that you would say add for the female that wants to get into it? And I'm asking the wrong person, Johnny. I'm looking at Johnny and I should talk to Richard. And
no one could tell on the podcast, I promise.
I know, but Johnny just gave me this like, what?
Why are you looking at me? Talking to Richard.
I'm talking to Richard and I'm not even looking at him. I was actually kind of talking to Charity, too.
Yeah. Still looking right at me.
Yeah, I was looking at Johnny.
Well, finish your question.
Well, I can't blame you.
You're so good looking, Johnny.
Yeah. I know. Get
off of that. So I want to get back to what I was saying before I lose train of thought. Do you think that would be a good book
or before it crashes.
For a library to add?
Yes.
To get females involved if that's something
Slowly.
We want.
Yes, definitely.
There's been so many hand gestures been given here this last two podcasts.
Talking with your head. So no Richard, one else can see
Richard
it.
Talking with
yes,
his
I do.
Richard was thinking the same. I do the same thing to her. But so we're saying.
But I think gear wise, audience wise, you could probably even go as low as fifth and sixth grade with this. Probably.
You know, my daughter's in third grade, and I gave it to her, and pff, no way. So I would say sixth.
Well, it's one of those things I thought about letting my daughter, who's what we're in the middle of the school year. She's in fifth grade, just turned 11. I thought that may be something I would give her, show her how to read it and see if it's even something she could. The problem with it at that age is not necessarily what's in it or content. It's the way it's read, and they're still having that learning curve of reading a chapter book in the fifth grade.
Okay.
If my 5-year-old sister could read, she'd probably think this was interesting.
Well, I'm not saying my daughter wouldn't find it interesting. I'm thinking it's the style of reading that would throw a fifth grader off, because at the beginning of fifth grade and the end of fourth grade, you're just getting into those chapter books. So to throw something at them that is
reading backwards
totally
would be too much of a distraction.
Disconjointed from what we read, I think they'd have a hard time just getting through it in that aspect and remembering that, and wouldn't get any enjoyment out of the book.
Well, so when I was in fifth and sixth grade, some of my friends were already starting to get into that anime, and
there might be some that could probably get it.
I'm going to say some could,
but
some
not
couldn't.
For everybody.
It's not for every grade at that one. But
then again, manga is really not for everybody either.
Exactly.
Right. You're either
I'm talking your age, seventh, eighth grade, maybe not a problem. Fifth and sixth.
Depend on reading level.
Depending on the person and how good they're at it. So,
talking about that, how long did it take for you to feel comfortable reading in that manner?
Probably about 15 minutes.
15.
To the book.
Could you have figured it out if I didn't tell you how to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't have. No way.
I'm smarter than you, Chris.
You know what? I read about the first six pages, like the first couple manga that we read that you had us read, and I went, I'm lost. Wait a minute.
Like on the first page, like if you look at it and it doesn't make sense, you should like go back and
try a different way.
I
was kind of like, okay, maybe it's just the way the story is written.
Yeah, don't go six pages and then try to figure
it out. Might have not been six. It might have been like two or three, but I was being
charity's teaching these guys how to read. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, the
weird part?
There's tablature at the end of this book. So if after you read...
You know how to play guitar.
After you read this book, are you going to want to play guitar? Charity, do you have the sudden urge to want to play guitar?
Yeah.
So it's a good thing they put
that backfired on
well,
you.
Are you into music?
Yes. And I was, for 2 years, I was trying to learn how to play guitar and stuff. So maybe not everyone would, but I wanted to try.
So maybe not even just a female audience, but specifically getting to specifics. Somebody that's into the music, band or vocal, would probably enjoy this more than even just a regular person, a regular girl.
Because they could identify with it.
Right. They're like, that'd be cool to have a band in high school. We have.
And maybe that's probably why I didn't get into it, even though I do have a music background. It wasn't. I couldn't. You know what? Maybe it was just me.
After reading about half the book, I could not get past that this is a book for girls about girls, and I couldn't get out of that. Not that the book was bad, I just couldn't get past that and went, okay, I'm done.
Sometimes you got to look at stuff you don't like.
I tried,
and I appreciate that.
For me, it was easy to get into the book because a lot of the characters reminded me of my friends and stuff.
Okay,
see another plug.
And one of these things, it's not a relationship book at all.
No.
Because sometimes when you get into the all school, either whether it's boy or girl, they tend to even draw in a romantic angle to some of the characters, where I didn't see that at all in this book. It was just friends getting together.
I think that was a good break because every book I grab out of the library, because, you know, you're not supposed to base books on their covers, but I do. Like, everyone's about, like, family issues, drugs, boyfriends, that stuff, and this one's just friends.
Right.
I thought that was...
I think Matt ran too much in between the panes.
He's getting all red here.
I think he had laughing gas before he came. Every time I look at him, he's laughing.
It was what I didn't say to Chris that Chris completely understood and died laughing.
But that's one of the things I liked about this. That's why I said it would work for a fifth and sixth grader, even younger, because it's not a relationship book. There are the Fruits Basket, like I told you about. It does deal with relationships. You have Peach Girl, if you like the gossip, high school Gossip Girl type stuff. You have Best Friend stabbing the next best friend in the back over a guy. That's basically Peach Girl. And a lot of the teenage girls really like that because they see that a lot in their schools.
I'm going to say that was a title of book series?
Yes, okay. Beach Girl.
I didn't know. I had to ask.
Yeah.
See, I personally think I'd see that enough in school. I wouldn't want to read
see it.
And
okay.
Get into it.
Is this a manga you would see in a school library?
It can be. Yes. There's nothing objectionable in it that I.
Does your school library have any manga or anything? Okay, they do
have
care.
Like a section about not like anyone on the podcast here. Three I see long. It. Like,
it's a small section.
It's
small
like
section
four shelves.
Well, four shelves isn't too bad for a school library, really. Because I've noticed, and this is getting off on a side tangent again, school librarians, especially when they're older, do not like graphic novels or manga in the libraries. But when you start hiring the younger librarians in, or you have a librarian that's conscientious of the students and tries to get something that they like, you'll start seeing some getting filtered into the library.
Well,
but it's still very little.
Even though The Watchmen hit in 1985, was respected and kind of changed the genre. Even though it's been nearly 30 years, there's still a stigma. There's still a stigma that people think of comics and graphic novels as something lesser or
lesser than a book,
right? And what they don't realize is that it's really come into its own, and that it's a genuine piece of art, of literary art.
And that's the hurdle that the older librarians are having trouble with.
Right.
I don't want to say it's older librarians. I want to say it's libraries in general, because it's not always the librarians that buy stuff. It's usually a committee and some of those involved in that.
True,
maybe the
but
board
as the...
Like
wow, really? We just got noticed we were going long. This is... I'll have to edit this one a little bit.
I don't know. It's got good material.
This is so one where, as even with adults, you do video gaming at all or a computer. I've seen you on your phone.
Yeah.
So you're tech savvy. Most everybody is now. Or people older
than...
I'd
say I'm on the lower end, though, but yeah.
Well, that's fine, but you're familiar. It's a daily thing for you. With me, I mean, look at my phone.
Flip phone, baby. Flip phone.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen one of those.
Just got put in my place. But as the younger generations come in, they're more familiar with it. They're being introduced to it because of what Johnny has in his collection, what I have in mine.
Right.
So they're getting more familiar with it because I see, the video gaming, and my library doesn't have video games, even though I pushed for it for 6 years. It was easier for me to get graphic novels in, which I've had in there for 12 years now. They still don't want video games. But I have people in their 30s and younger that is their choice of entertainment more times than not when they get home. My sister's brothers, that's pretty much what they do. Instead of watching TV, they put in a game and go. So as it goes, I think it will gradually get into the libraries more.
No, here at this library, computer usage continues to go up. And when you go up there, I would say at least 50% are on some sort of flash game. The rest of them are watching streaming video or on Facebook.
Especially that 3:30 crowd, after school gets out. I would say 90% of the kids are playing some kind of game.
Yeah.
So that's the trend.
That library tip brought to you by...
But this is more discussion than the podcast should probably get into, but...
This is what it's about.
Informing librarians.
We definitely know that K-On! Is not for the boys crowd. It's not for the guys crowd. Female crowd, definite. I'm a little bit more... I read a little bit of everything, so I read these just to see what they're like.
It was a little weird. So couldn't get past that girl thing, but...
Charities gave it the stamp of approval. So have I, so we overrule you two.
I'm not saying it's a bad book.
You didn't even try to read it or anything.
I did.
Well,
I tried
read
to
all
read
of it.
But you failed.
Yes, I did, miserably.
Epically.
It was an epic fail, but I would say it's definitely, if you need more content directed to your female audience, it's a book to have for your female teenager.
Or if you're trying to draw in a female manga crowd.
One to spotlight.
One to spotlight, definitely. I'm not saying it's bad in any way in that aspect, so
right.
I think it's good. So
I'd like to thank Charity for being here tonight and giving us a firsthand experience with the manga. It was a pleasure visiting with her, and we appreciate everybody listening. Have fun out there. We like having fun here. We'll catch y'all on the next trip.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I've got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, 'cause it's so what I'm trying to say, well, I don't
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.